This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and no matter what the weather looks like outside or in New York, all is good in the world as your Houston Astros have taken a 2-1 lead.
Suck it, Yankees.
In the ALCS.
Also to the team, the Yankees. I was just saying in general, anyone that's a Yankee can suck it. But also, if you're a baseball Yankee, suck it. Does that
make... tweet that?
I can't.
Because I think you could start out with, good morning to Astros fans.
Oh,
and
God, no. I don't need that much attention.
Okay.
I'm not that starved for attention.
All right,
I need
just
to do that.
Because I made your jersey. I just don't know if you're going to wear it. How do you feel about the number 97.5 on your back?
Not happening. Not happening, Joseph.
All right, fellas, what's going on?
What's up? What up? What's going
on? Catching up with all y'all. The weather is not only bad here, obviously bad in New York, but... I'm
kind of disappointed. There's really nothing to watch now.
Yeah.
Now it's just going to be you watching NBA TV, watching some regular ass
Rockets
game
play tonight.
Nobody
you
cares
watch.
About.
Preseason basketball.
Yeah. Not. Nick, you going?
Barry's definitely going to watch that. No, I'm not going to.
You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to explore this PlayStation Now thing.
What's There's that?
So PlayStation Now, you can get games on demand. You know, it's like $9 a month. It's like $60 a year. That's the cost of one game, and you get all the games there. So I think... So you just pay the $60 for the year, or you can pay $10 a month. But then you just like, oh, look, I want to play Mafia 3, and you download it and play it. Or, oh, I want to play Mortal Kombat, and you download it and play it. And they have all these games up.
I hope Microsoft is not one of our sponsors, but let me tell you, they're giving me every reason to drop that damn Xbox. I'm telling you. PlayStation sounds so much better.
Oh, bro, it's amazing. And then they've got the 5 coming out in the next year, too. And I'm geeked about that.
I told
that.
You about the
it's
baseball
It's
going
to be a grand. But you know what I was thinking? If the PlayStation is a grand, so what? That's a phone. Phones
boy,
are
you
a grand
ain't kidding
now.
These days with the way prices are. You're absolutely right.
So I'm not going to be bitching about a PlayStation being, you know,
people are
going to
be making payments for their PlayStation console.
Be like, oh, take
that's
it out
the thing
second
that's
mortgage.
Amazing to me between phones and if the possibility would, I would totally believe people would pay for video games. But we see people that use their rent money and would sooner pay for a phone with their rent money than rent with their rent money.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me.
In fact, I just Googled it just to find a quick how much is the PS5 going to cost. And the first article I see was on Games Radar. It says new PlayStation controller patent suggests PS5 will pivot to cloud gaming in a big way. So there's not going to be this whole, you know, it's going to be that's why they're pushing that PlayStation Now for $60.
I mean,
so
I like
have to check that out.
Yeah, I would definitely invest in that. To me, that's totally worth the investment, even if the device or the console is $1,000.
Yeah.
I have the game sharing on Xbox where you can, if someone else has a game.
That's dope.
If you connect with them via game sharing, you can play whatever game he has, and he can play whatever, he or she can play whatever game he has.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So now instead of just sharing spit and other bodily functions, you can share video games.
Why you got to make it weird right out the gate like that?
Well, there's just a lot of sharing going on, and I'm just trying to make the analogy. I don't know. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what you guys do to who you're sharing with in your non-ESPN time.
You made it sexual. You made it. There's a lot of
things. I made it perfect for this show is what I did.
You made it creepy.
Do you want to explain to the folks what's going on with Way Back Wednesday today?
I do. We screwed up. Didn't have a theme.
Why do you got to do that?
What? I mean,
we put our heads together. Listen, we wanted to come up with something creative. You were the catalyst.
If you don't think that the listeners don't know how dumb we are, you are sadly mistaken. They know we screwed up. We didn't mention it one time yesterday on an abbreviated show. And normally in the 3 o'clock hour, you go
2 hours to get a lot of stuff.
But I'm saying normally in 3 o'clock hour, when you go two in the books, one to go, blah, blah, blah. It's a Tuesday. Oh, fellas, you know what that means. Then
we
figure it out.
Normally a lot earlier than that.
Yeah. But that didn't happen yesterday. So the theme is, since the Yankees are about to be out in seven and aren't making another world. Yes, I said it.
Or less? Or just
no,
in seven?
It's going to be seven.
Okay.
But the Yankees aren't going to make another World Series. So we're going to go back to 2009, the last time the Yankees were in the World Series, since it won't be this year. So what we're going to do is the top 23 songs from 2009, we're going to play them backwards. We're going to count it down to one. Nick is going to be Casey Kasem.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. American Top 40 will be right back.
That's pretty good. That's not a bad case. It's not your best.
No, I did it off the cuff.
Bad. Yeah,
but I can work
bad.
On it.
No,
you.
No, it's not bad at all. So we'll be playing. It's a pretty awful top 23. I'm not going to lie.
Starting with 23. Based on what you told me it was, I was like, ugh.
There is some Beyonce in there, so that kind of saves the list. But yeah, our theme is songs from the last year that the Yankees won a World Series, which is right at our cutoff, 2009. So that works out perfectly.
So last night, watched the game.
Yep.
Great game to watch.
Yep.
Here's the crazy thing right off the top, fellas. There were rumors abound before the start of the playoffs that MLB had kind of switched gears and went back to the old baseballs for the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you watching that game, there are about three or four shots that I thought were getting out with no problem yesterday that were caught at the warning track, and I went, maybe there's more truth to this than we think.
Well, remember Steven Uzek came on yesterday and talked about the wind?
Yeah.
Those balls are going out tomorrow. Because he said that wind's going to be blowing about 20 miles an hour from home plate to right center. So that one that Josh Reddick caught about 3 feet from the wall, mm-hmm. it would be gone
tomorrow.
Is that
the Didi Gregorius one where the Yankee fan lost his bleeping mind?
So we need to be careful about that. But you are right. There were several shots on both sides.
Maldonado hit one.
I did too. Twice. He had two deep flies. So yeah, I'm with you. The ball is definitely not carrying the same. I liked AJ Hinch's quote because they asked him. They were asking people about it when Didi Gregorius hit that ball.
Yeah.
You could tell Gerrit Cole's reaction was, well, that's gone.
Yep.
And then it wasn't. And they asked AJ Hinchin about it. He goes, I just assume every ball is gone in today's era.
Well, even going back to the Verlander start, I think it was the Judge ball that he ended up flying out to deep, deep center. But he does that little extra hop at the end of his follow through when he thinks a ball is hit really hard. And that's normally when he thought it was gone. And he did that hop, and he's looking, shaking his head like it's gone. And then Springer caught it on the track, and I'm like, okay, that started me thinking. But then after yesterday, I was like, no, I screamed for no reason several times, both positively and negatively. Yeah. There might be some truth to that.
It's funny because I always chuckle when fans can't judge. Like when we would all watch the game, was it game one of the ALDS? And you get a kick out of it because there are – it's hard. I mean, if you don't watch baseball every day, you don't know. But a lot of fans will, as soon as a fly ball is hit by an Astro, they're just screaming like it's a home run. And then it's just an out, you know, somewhere in the middle of the outfield. But last night was very hard to tell.
The big thing for me has always been the sound. There's a certain kind of sound when you know that it's been squared up.
Yeah.
And I heard that sound pretty frequently to think that, again, I thought a lot of those balls were getting out of the yard. So the fact that it didn't is surprising to me. But, you know, for all things being considered, Gerrit Cole is the man. I mean, what he was able to do, especially non-Gerrit Cole-like, giving up five walks, knowing that the high-leverage situations were high from inning one. Some of the pitches that he used to get out of, you know, runners in scoring position and two outs, and it looked like it was starting to slip away from him a little bit. And the way he just kept enduring and persevering and just going at them was just so impressive that, again, I say this, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't care what the casualties are at this point. You have got to make sure that man stays in an Astros uniform.
It's going to be difficult, though.
I know.
In fact, I thought about this watching him yesterday when they were showed the picture of him with the sign that said, Yankees fan,
yeah,
now and forever. Yeah. And I thought, ooh. You know, he's out there and he's dealing and he's probably loving playing in Yankee Stadium in the playoffs and playing against the Yankees. But what I bet he would love even more is to be playing in Yankee Stadium as a Yankee eventually. And this might be that opportunity. So he goes out, he wins his World Series, he has this kind of year. He's guaranteed to make close to $40 million a year. And there's only a few teams in baseball that are willing to pay that and go over the luxury tax, and the Yankees is one of them.
Yankees, Dodgers, Angels are the top three rumored, and never sleep on the Cubs because they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But does he want to shave his beard and cut his hair? Because if you look like at Paxton, Paxton was a guy that had a beard in Seattle and Encarnacion. These are things that the Yankees have not changed and probably will not change their policy on.
And I don't understand that. It's stupid.
It is dumb. Cincinnati used to do it too, and now I think it's just the Yankees. But it is dumb. It's very passe. It needs to change. But, you know, he loves analytics. And I just wrote a column last night for sportsmap.com on it. So please check it out. I'd appreciate it. But it's a little long, but it has a lot of different reasons and hopefully a lot of different scenarios, but a lot of ways that they can try and keep him. But also when looking at it, he loves analytics. He loves as much information as you can possibly give him in terms of the scouting report and the video and all the things the Astros thrive on. And he hates the media and the publicity attention. He hates it.
Yeah.
And he can hide from that here, and he can't hide from it in New York. Aside from the shave and a haircut.
Right.
So,
but yeah, he's got that mullet. I don't know. It's a mullet type cut. I don't know what the hell's going on back there.
It's a mop.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Those are things. But if you're paying me $40 million a year, bro, I just don't
think he's going to the Yankees. I think it comes down to he's a Southern California kid. So he's either going to one of the California teams or staying here.
I'll braid my butt hair for $40 million. You tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it. That's a lot of money.
But do you want to take it in the ass for the next 5 or 6 years with all that money? Or do you want to get maybe a little less, maybe not, but you continue to stay? Because the Angels suck. So if you want to go to the Angels and suck for 5 to 7 years but get all your money, enjoy it. But if you want to stay with Houston and know that you're going to be a competitive team with a chance to win a title for the next several years, I stick with a team where the winning is good, the environment is good, I'm comfortable with every part of it. I don't know.
I mean, I'm
obviously a little biased, but
it depends too what else the other moves that the Angels make. I mean, when you start a team with Mike Trout and Garrett Cole, you're probably going to do pretty well. I mean, look at the Nationals, for example, right? When by losing Bryce Harper, everyone thought, oh well.
All right.
They're going to suck. You forget, though.
Everybody but you, Barry.
Well, I didn't want to say it. But this is a
You're
team.
Welcome. I'm your PR guy. He also called the score right yesterday. I said 3-1. He said 4-1. He wins.
They added Patrick Corbin, and that made a huge difference. This in the Anibal Sanchez. You've got, you know, Rendon and Soto. And when I did my MLB preview, I said Soto could have Nationals fans saying Bryce who by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And because they do have guys that can hit, they have stars over there. And
was
sometimes
that on like page 27? I didn't get that far in the scouting
report.
It was
at the W, so okay. It was way down. It was buried at the end. But, I mean, the point is you don't – just because you lose a guy doesn't necessarily and just because you add a guy. Look at the Phillies.
But you don't want to see him
it's all
in
the
your
other
division.
Moves.
Extra,
no, you don't want to see him in your division.
Dose and I mean, all that,
but you're talking a couple starts a year at most. He's going to have to face Justin Verlander. And you know what? You know who taught Garrett Cole how to pitch as effectively as he's pitching? The Astros did.
Yeah, they did.
So
that's another reason why I think he should stay.
Well, he doesn't owe him that. I mean,
I know, but
especially if he gets him a World Series. Because let's see, he got him to the ALCS, and based on the weather, he's probably going to be pitching in Game 7 and getting him to the World Series.
But if he goes to the Angels, there's a lot of bad contracts. They're still paying.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, maybe
a lot
that's
of
why
things
they don't
that
do it.
Probably prevent them from doing what
True.
You're saying in terms
Trade
of putting
Pujols.
A great lineup around
yeah,
yeah
Pujols'
contract is just sucking the life out of them. And some of the Upton and some of the guys that they paid big dollars for, big time, they threw some money at some pitchers that haven't panned out. So,
hey, real quick, Nick, people on the text line are saying that Microsoft has Game Pass, which is the same thing as PlayStation Now, where you can just get all the games. And they're also saying PlayStation has the same share capability.
Really?
So we're idiots. We don't know.
I could have told you that without this entire discussion.
All right.
So we've got a lot to get to on the show, and hopefully that means participation from you as well. 713-780-3776, HRP Listener. You can call that number, text that number. Hit us up on the tweets with @BarryIsFunny, @PacManJoel with a K, @TheProducerNick. Before we get to the break, do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. It's raining out there, folks. Maybe you found out you got a leak in your roof, or you're thinking about putting a new roof on your house. Well, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com. But better yet, give them a call. 832-521-3001. You call them and you set up a free, I said free, no obligation inspection. They look at your roof, tell you what they can do, and they go away. If you want them to come back, you call them and they do fantastic work, and their customer service and their products are better than anybody else. They use CertainTeed shingles, the best in the business. They do such a great job that CertainTeed made them a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Simply put, their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer. I'm telling you, folks, the ratings are there to back it up. A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. You need anything done with your roof and you don't go to Fitz, you're just not smart. FitzRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Set up your free no-obligation inspection today. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, everybody, we're just here to help. We're having a good time talking sports and other things.
Leave Nick alone. Let him do his job.
So the glasses have already been thrown.
You're welcome.
1:18 p.m.
The lips have been smacked.
Yep. I'm going to start flicking boogers at you by about 1:30.
We'll fight.
Fine.
I'll kick you in the leg.
Based on what I've been through.
Yeah. I'll just kick you in the leg, bro.
Doctor's appointment this morning. I almost had the entire situation upside down again.
Oh,
I went
no.
for the second time to the same doctor who's just supposed to change. Dr. Fanny's fantastic. He's just supposed to change the bandage. Look at it. The minute the bandages come off, the nurse is getting it ready for the doctor to look at it before he comes in the room. She goes, oh, no. I'm like, I'm sorry? She goes, that's a bad color. I go, color? It's healing. You can see it's scabbed. She goes, oh, I'm not talking about the wound itself. I'm talking about the color of your skin around you. It looks like you've been to Hawaii. I go, it's not that tan. She goes, well, maybe the doctor will see it differently. He comes in and goes, well, it was better than when you were here last week. Great. But it wasn't as good as before when you were in the hospital. No. So now I have to do outpatient IVs for possibly up to a week so that this infection is killed.
That sucks.
It is just...
That does suck.
Good Lord, I'm tired of this. And look, and I'd rather have this done than lose my leg, but my God. So there's my update.
When are you going to be playing basketball again?
I asked that today. I was like, look, I'm tired of all the infection crap. Can we just talk about when I'm going to be back to good? He goes, 3 weeks. He goes, you can probably ride a stationary bike before that so you don't lose as much cardio. And he goes, I would say within 3 weeks, you'll be running again and hooping again.
Look at
Doc, that's fantastic.
That's great.
I love that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's the case. I wanted to ask you guys before we really get into all the other nuts and bolts of the game, and obviously the guys in New York have covered a lot of it previously, so let's get to some of this other stuff, sidebars. But they talked to Reddick after the game, and he was talking about the fact that it was disrespectful to the players in the game, but I think it goes farther than this, to say that Yankee fans were throwing water bottles and other containers at the players, especially when Gurriel made the helmet tag on Encarnacion. He also said that, and he did, I like the fact he clarified, they were souvenir-type baseballs, but that players had to dodge souvenir-type baseballs that were being hurled their way when that call was made. And he can say it's disrespectful. That's some BS, because as he said, look, especially if you're doing it from the third deck or somewhere where it's not only got the velocity of the arm speed, but coming from the third deck barreling down, whether you plan to hit them or not, or you got great aim or not, that thing could do some damage. They're not wearing their batter's helmets now.
First of all, it's trash-ass New York. Of course they're throwing things from the stands. Any fan base, this is the stupidity of Yankees fans. Okay? This is how dumbass these people are. And we won't just say Yankees fans, New Yorkers. This is how dumb these people are. They're at a game and their team loses. So rather than just going home, these dumbasses stay after.
I saw you tweet that.
And chant that the team that their team just lost to sucks. That's the dumbest thing I have ever heard of. You're going to say, Houston sucks. Do that because they're up 2-1, dumbass. You're going to sit there and chant, but go home. Go home to your wife and kids, losers.
Did you see the guy who had a brain hemorrhage
throwing Didi
Gregorius' ball was caught at the warning track? They showed this guy the first time, and I want to say that Joe Buck said it was actually a Fox production assistant that had gotten tickets or whatever, but this dude, once the ball was caught, it wasn't even an expletive I could make out, but he yelled something so hard and loud.
I'll give you one guess.
But no, because I thought it was just going to be a straight F-bomb. But it was something. But, I mean, it looked like his temples were going to, like, just completely just go and disintegrate. He was that he was screaming, yelling. I was like, oh, my God, it's a fly ball.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. You can see. You just looking in the background of any shot from any of the cameras and the douchebaggery just running wild throughout the stadium.
Yep.
It really is.
Fantastic word, by the way.
Douchebaggery.
Love it.
It's awful. It really is. Not saying there's not douchebag Houston fans, but per capita, New York is the douchebag capital of the world, okay? Especially at a Yankees game,
I'm not gonna
or
argue
a Rangers
with you because
game.
I've been there enough. New York and Boston are kind of neck and neck in that regard.
Yeah,
but the other thing is, I've gotten now to the point of tagging it Fox ups because of how many mistakes Fox makes. But the fact that when Encarnacion came up at one at bat last night, they were so focused on the fact that all year, because of the way he rounds the bases with a home run, where he puts his arm up, and it's almost like, you know, a brace to have a parrot sit on. And someone peeps during the year, they started bringing these stuffed parrots. Fox is so focused on showing these two New York fans with the stuffed parrots on their arm. They don't realize that clear as day on the guy's T-shirt, it has the Aaron Boone quote from earlier in the year when he got tossed out and says, the F-bomb effing as large as life, effing savages at the plate. And they didn't go to it once. They went to it twice. And I'm going, yay you, you got the parrot, and you got everybody in America watching the F-bomb for at least 10, 15 seconds, you dumbasses. I mean, you're a national broadcaster broadcasting one of the two biggest series in baseball all year, and the mistakes between the wrong names and this kind of crap, I'm like, what are you guys doing?
That kind of stuff, I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much, but I understand why it bothers you, because for 25 years...
Yeah, that was my radar,
that was your
man.
Job. So I could see where you're watching it and it would bother you. For me, it's more about like when A-Rod, when I saw him tweeting about how, oh, the Astros... I mean, he's trying so hard to imply that the Astros are cheaters or cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheating.
Easy as there, Poppy.
According to, yeah, Big Poppy. But he's really is, because now again, he's saying that they knew what Severino was throwing. How about is it that difficult to just say that the Astros are just good at baseball? Yeah. Is it that difficult to say? Because let's not forget that tweet that's going around with Aaron Judge in the dugout looking at side by side still frames of Justin Verlander on the mound.
That's right.
Let's not forget
that's
about
right.
that. But we're not going to mention that, right, A-Rod?
Or the back and forth between them and the Red Sox when they were using the Apple Watches and they were both caught
exactly.
cheating.
Exactly.
So it's not like everybody
cheating.
Doesn't
they
do
were
it.
Caught cheating.
Correct. Spell it.
C-H-E-A-T-I-N-G. Oh. Cheating.
Because P. Randizzle spelled it S-C-H.
Oh, no.
I took the S out of it and just put C-H-I-T-T-I-N-G.
Yeah.
But yes. And the other thing, too, and I'm not asking for this much because I found out having tweeted this that a lot of people weren't aware of this. But they kept going on and on about if AJ was going to bring out Cole one more time. And they kept showing Cole in the dugout. Do you not realize, and I know we watch every game, but do you not realize when Garrett Cole puts a fatty in his front lip and he's got a dip, he's done. You don't. He on a game day, he never pitches with a dip. He never has anything. Okay? Same again, and the tip that I put in the tweet was, and also, when Verlander is done, you never have to question it because he puts about three pieces of gum in his mouth.
Wow, you're really paying attention.
And
to
what
this,
pitchers
huh?
do because of the high level stress situation and everything like that, everybody's got their own way of doing it, but they look for that quick kind of tension release. Mm-hmm. Some it's a dip, some it's gum and just the chewing and everything like that. But there's other ways, other people do it differently. Some people, they go right down in ice immediately because the ice kind of soothing. But there's always those triggers. I've watched enough Astros games that I know that, and again, as a baseball guy with Smoltz, I don't know many, if any, pitchers that pitch with a dip in their mouth.
Yeah.
It's very, very few. But again, if you're just paying simple attention and you're the national broadcast, I mean, that may be going too far asking them to do that.
Yeah.
But I was like,
that's
man,
a little much.
If Garrett's on the front step
day.
With a big old fat dip in his
day.
Mouth, you go, yeah, and but, you're like, he's done.
But they don't watch him every day like you do. That's
no,
not fair.
But still.
I mean, because look, let's give credit where credit is due. Smoltz was really on point.
He's great. I love John Smoltz.
And he was talking about the fact that you could tell Cole was in a rhythm about the sixth inning on. And literally Cole in the post game said as much. After about the fifth inning, I started to really feel it. I found my groove, which is exactly what Smoltz was saying. So I really like the job that John Smoltz does
I
on the broadcast.
I love John Smoltz as an analyst.
I think the insight that he gives is really good.
Joe Suck, I'm done with. I've been done with since football.
I don't know why y'all hate that man
but
so
I don't
much.
Like Joe Suck.
Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman texted about the umpire that got the concussions. And he wanted to know about that, so we needed to address that as well as some other things that took place in the game. Plus, we got to talk about the Nationals versus whatever the hell that was.
Who at the start of the year would have thought the Nationals were going to the World Series? I know. You should pay me. I've done so much for your PR. What? Jeez, I should start doing on your comedy side.
Look, I got lucky.
I could have you on the Tonight Show by the end of the year.
I got lucky.
All right, half hour in, 2.5 to go. It is the usual suspects. Please stay tuned for more of the show right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Who is this?
This is O-Town.
Jay.
Who is this?
I don't know who
Chris Brown?
Jay Sean.
I don't know who that is.
Didn't we have a discussion about Jay Sean before, Nick? You were a big fan or something, and we didn't know who that was?
He might have.
You used
we
to jam to this, huh?
He's like a British Indian dude that sings.
Oh, see? He
likes British it. Indian dude.
He likes I think.
Mm-hmm. And this is
a brown
jam.
British guy.
This
is
a jam that you
Why's
used
he
to.
Because he's totally
that's what
brown,
he is.
Let me tell you.
So you don't have to call him brown.
So this you used to listen to this?
All the time, dude.
Still do?
Lil Wayne used to. Lil Wayne has a nice verse in this too.
I could never heard this song in my life,
dude. It was playing on the radio all the time when it
Speaking
came.
Speaking of
out.
That, can I tell you something?
No.
Driving home from the studio every day. Nick on the air seems so like reserved and just not emotional and everything like that.
What?
I can't tell you how many times when I'm at a light and I'm in and I'm ahead of Nick.
Uh huh.
I look in my rear view. My man is having a one-man dance party, and he don't care.
You dance in the car?
Oh, does he go. And the thing is, I'm
My
waiting
guy.
For him to start looking forward again. So
he
I can,
tries
like,
to catch me, but...
So I want to like pretend like I'm doing it with him to know that I saw him doing it.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't look up till after the light turns green. He's so into that music.
Dude, I love me my Spotify on the way home.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody said you sound sick as hell. That you're a trooper.
I'm a little hungover.
Nick sounds sick AF. Trooper going to work though. Joel's over here with one and a half legs,
and the trooper's
one
over here sucking it up
and,
doing radio.
And by the way, he's not sick. He's hungover. There's a big damn difference. It's self-inflicted. All right.
You have
he's
five...
sick of alcohol for the day. I'll tell you that.
What was that? A text or a tweet?
It was a text.
You have 3 minutes to text us back an apology.
I'm going to go ahead and blame my guy, Jonathan. And yes, and I'm putting him on blast because he's the bartender that gave me a free shot of Rumplemintz.
Oh, his fault.
Rumplemintz. That is terrible. I don't know why.
I saw you push it away and say you didn't want it.
I took, man.
Said no one.
I don't know why I had eight of them.
Yeah, said God. No one.
That shot totally messed me up.
I didn't have to pay for it. You should be complimenting Jonathan.
Bro, I hate to tell you this, but given the amount of saturation of your liver, one shot didn't do it.
Believe me, it was that Rumplemintz shot. I had like three or four whiskey shots, and I was fine.
It was not the Rumplemintz.
Yeah, that
it
one
was,
shot maybe
it
made
was
you
the
blink.
Fact that you had five shots and probably a beer and probably a little devil's lettuce.
He had some whiskey.
Yeah.
Don't remember how I just woke up. I've got somebody's jacket in my car. Don't know who it belongs
Fantastic.
To.
Oh,
you
is
ran over
XL?
Someone on the way home?
I hope not.
Is it an XL?
No, it's a really small shirt.
Well, thank God for that. I didn't. You know, you either could have been slump busting or you were a really good friend.
Somebody said you sound like Patton Oswalt when you're angry.
That's not a compliment.
Mm, okay. I'm just...
Anybody see Fallon last night?
No.
I'm watching Fallon last night, and he did a Trump monologue to open with. Okay. And then all of a sudden, you know, normally they just transition to the open, and then he comes through the curtain. And I see all these people, like, bum rush him, and they're yanking the wig off the Trump, all the costume. I'm like, what are they doing, and why are we seeing this? It's like a mistake. And then he runs. We see him run behind the run through the curtain, to only to come back out of the curtain. His hair's all out of whack, and he's like, we're going live tonight. I was like, oh, wow, that might be badass, kind of like Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was kind of like flipping back and forth between that and SportsCenter. And he goes, it's kind of like a Usual Suspects moment, because in the middle of his real monologue and talking about things, and he goes, he covered a couple things that we've talked about on here in terms of crazy people stories and things like that. And all of a sudden he goes, and by the way, I don't know if you saw this, and so folks, you can Google this, but there's a CNN reporter that was talking about, I don't know if it was the Hong Kong situation or something with Trump, but he was trying to explain how it's a real high-pressured situation. And he made the analogy, it's like a champagne bottle that's been shaken. And Jimmy said, only problem is CNN is TV, and he decided on live television to make the motion over and over again of shaking a champagne bottle. And the guy is just going at it, and he comes
back. Show me how he did it, Joel.
Nope.
Show me how he did it.
And so they go back to Fallon. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Only maybe not that fast. And he wasn't Penn's finishing. He was just getting started.
The Penn's so, got somewhere to be or not, right?
So it comes back to Fallon. He goes, I don't even know if we can show that, but we just did.
Yeah,
and he goes,
too late.
And you know what? Maybe people were thinking that was their own time in a room where no one's looking. So I was like, okay, great.
So we teased it, and I wanted to make sure we get to it, but your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said something about the umpire leaving, and did you notice a difference in the way Cole pitched before and after? I didn't necessarily notice that. I will say this. After he got hit the second time, the umpire, in the face mm-hmm. with a foul ball, mm-hmm. and it really rocked him, I did notice that about a batter or two later, Cole was on the mound, and or maybe he wasn't on the mound. I don't remember who was on the mound. I just remember that pitches that were about 5, 6, 7 inches off the plate, he was calling a strike. And it was very bizarre because he wasn't calling that before. So I don't know if the concussion had an effect on that, his vision or whatever, but he was missing the strike zone. And I
kudos
noticed
to him because a lot
I noticed
of umpires,
that, and yeah, you're right. Kudos to him for pulling himself because yes. that was going to be a problem.
Because a lot of umpires want to tough it out and make everybody believe umpires are tough too, and they're going to stick this thing out till the end. But when you look at one is enough, but to take two like that, and the other thing that I was kind of thinking Fox was kind of walking a tightrope on was he's mic'd up.
Yeah,
but if he says anything about himself medically, and they air it without his permission, that's a real dangerous, slippery slope.
Again.
Yeah, that's another thing
that
technically I know about from personal experience. But then I was one again. Kudos to Gerrit Cole because that was a 30-some minute delay after all the other stuff he had been through, and yet I'm sure the Yankees were thinking, hopefully he's done. Like the Astros were hopefully thinking, Severino's done.
Right.
But he endures all that. But then I'm going, now do you go to the crew chief who's going to have another game in this series? Or do you take the replacement ump and have him just finish out this game so that the rest of the rotation stays? And I was really curious how they were going to handle that. But the crew chief finishes that game and we'll get another game yet in this series.
Yeah. It was weird. And they were worried, and I was worried that it was going to affect Gerrit Cole because he had the longest wait.
Mm-hmm.
He said it didn't affect him too bad. He went down in the tunnel underneath and played catch a little bit, so that's good. The only other thing that worried me about that was you get used to in a game, you know, you figure out what the strike zone is
sure.
as a hitter yeah. and as a pitcher. Yeah. So when you bring in, was it Kerwin Dantley?
Yeah.
When you bring him in, he's got a different strike zone.
Right.
So now all the pitchers, all the hitters, everybody has to figure that out again. And you don't know who that's going to be advantage.
Exactly.
You know, is that going to be advantage the pitchers or the hitters? So that worried me a little bit. But I did notice, I don't think it affected Gerrit Cole per se, but I did notice that the umpire strike zone was vastly different after getting hit again. That was kind of weird.
I'm also going to tell you something that I don't know whether it really was true or not, and I don't think it was intentional, but I can tell you one key moment for Gerrit Cole that a lot of people may not believe me when I say this. Maldonado cut through a lot of high-pressure crap last night when he threw that laser at Cole. I don't know if you caught it or not.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And then Cole laughed.
And then
a
he
bit.
Laughed.
Yeah.
Instead of being all uptight and worked up and worried about the, you know, the spot in the game, the fact that he was able to laugh mm-hmm. is so important because he was able to take a deep breath and kind of check out of the moment for a second and then check back in. I thought that was key because
nice.
Yeah, it, yeah. You know, he hit him right in the heel
giggle.
Of the glove.
He's like, he kind of looked towards the dugout and laughed and shook his head like, "What the hell's he doing over here? Throwing yeah. those seeds back like that."
I absolutely loved moment. It, but yeah, I didn't. And again, like I said, look, from the standpoint of the catchers, I mean, Chirinos hasn't gotten any big hits yet, but I have no complaints because literally two of those balls that Maldonado hit last night, I thought might have gotten out.
Yeah.
So, for sure. All right, we're going to continue to talk about Astros and lots of other things. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, why don't you give us a call? The HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Before we get to break, I do want to tell you about a great spot for a staycation. Maybe you and your significant other are just trying to get away for a little while. Or maybe you want to take the family somewhere, but you don't want to drive 3 or 4 hours or fly. Well, the location is right in front of you in your own backyard. It's the Houstonian. The Houstonian, located in the Galleria right off of 610. They are conveniently located, and people don't realize it. They have 27 wooded acres of nature hikes and trails and jogging paths and everything that you need to enjoy the great outdoors without leaving Houston. And they have 3 temperature-controlled pools, 175,000-square-foot health club, and so many amenities to spoil you and give you that deluxe, luxurious weekend that it'll make your head spin. From the spa, trellis, where they pamper and make sure you are relaxed with massages, body wraps, and other things, to the 4 phenomenal restaurants, they have everything under one roof, and it's all there for you. You need to check it out. All you need to do is go to Houstonian.com and just let the video roll. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. From a family to a couple's getaway to anything in between, including a great place for business meetings, it's all about the Houstonian. It's the best kept secret in Houston, and you can get a part of it too. Check it out right now, Houstonian.com. Just wanna kiss you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Fantastic song right here by T.I. on all my playlists. Just letting you know.
Fantastic.
I love this song. I'm not going to lie. Okay. Tip's got talent.
To each their own. Really? You
I like T.I.
Talent, huh?
Bring him out. Love that.
Okay. I like some of his music. I don't know if I'd say he's the most talented guy.
I didn't say he's the most talented out there, but I think he's got talent.
Okay.
Well, great. We agree to disagree.
Look, somebody said this playlist is fire, Nick.
Yeah, Nick. Way to go. Way to take more credit.
I appreciate that. I came up with it all by myself.
You are a trooper, and your playlists are off the chain. Straight fire.
That was in your ear
AJ
only.
Stopped in.
No, I muted it. You didn't, I didn't go out so over there.
I didn't, so I'm sure they picked it up on my mic and down the hall. Jeez. By the way.
Is Joel cheer? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, after you, sir.
No, well, you were going to wrap up. We got more to get to?
Yeah, well, somebody wants to know if you're cheering for the Nationals now since there's Team Baby Shark.
I do. No, I would like to Yeah, and some dumbass is in the stands. These meds must be phenomenal for my leg. Because I get some dumbass is in the full Baby Shark costume in the stands last night doing the Baby Shark. I don't care if you're a New York fan or not. You beat that guy. Because you are a straight dumbass.
What?
Beat him up. He's at home. He's not going to get beat up. Because who comes to a baseball game? You kill people that grown people that wear jerseys. This guy's wearing a full I'm on stage with Katy Perry Baby Shark costume.
His left shark. Yeah, but it's his, I mean, that's his favorite player. It's like all the people that wear the James Harden beards. What's wrong with that?
It has nothing to do with Gerardo Parra. It's now a thing about the whole
team. It's like all the people that walk around on their knees because they love Jose Altuve. Because he's short. No?
Yeah,
all right.
No.
I'll move on.
It's like the fact that they think that this means Baby Shark. Yeah, this like the one finger pinch move.
What, no, they were like doing the full like.
Well, some players do.
Chop.
Some guys get a knock and then they look at the dugout and they do just the little pinchy finger thing.
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm like, you trying to say someone's got a small peepee or are you trying to say Baby Shark?
Gotcha. I didn't realize that was a thing.
How about who would have thunk it? A sweep.
I would have never thunk it. I thought the Cardinals would have at least put up a fight.
19-31 at one point in the season were the Washington Nationals, and now they make their first ever appearance in the World Series.
And
it was a pretty amazing story.
And it was over before it started. I mean, it was the same
first
thing.
First inning again.
Yeah, 7-0. And it was like, well, that's not good.
I mean, and you can't say that they lucked out or got there. And people were asking me last night, like, is this completely unheard of? Is this great? No. It's just like in football and even in basketball. The Rockets came from the sixth seed one year. Packers and Giants have won the Super Bowl from the wild card. When you're the hot team in the postseason and you get hot at the right time, sometimes that can go a long, long way. And you're talking about a team that was 12 games under 500 on May 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
They came from behind to win. A lot of people forget that. I said to Lisa last night, you realize this team was one hot inning away from going home after one game. The Brewers led that entire wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very end with a mishap and a couple of key knocks, and they get that win. They beat the best record in the National League in the division series in the Dodgers, and they sweep the Cardinals to be the National League representative in the World Series. Tip your cap to that squad.
Yeah, went down 1-2 to the Dodgers, no less.
Yeah.
In that five-game series. So they were facing elimination, had to come back, win two in a row. This is the one thing that worries me a little bit about this team. And write this down right now, Astros fans. When you looked at all the teams that the Astros would have to face, right? Mm-hmm. The Cardinals, I don't think, would have put up much of a fight similar to the way that this went with the Nationals. But the Yankees have the bats and the lineup to match the Astros bat for at bat.
Okay.
Okay? The Nationals have the rotation. Because that's the thing is the Yankees rotation doesn't match up well with the Astros, but they do have the advantage of having a good bullpen. But credit where credit is due, the Astros bullpen so far this postseason is pretty solid because it's been shortened like we talked about going in. I told you, rotation gets shorter. The back end of that bullpen gets a lot shorter. You're only going to see three or four guys in most games. So my fear was, all right, well, from a matchup standpoint, Yankees can go run for run, hit for hit. The Nationals can do the same thing from a pitching standpoint. They actually match up better from a rotation because once you get to that fourth starter, the Astros really don't have an answer for the fourth starter. If their fourth starter is Anibal Sanchez, the Astros have nothing. Now you're talking about Urquidy, and that could be an issue because that could be a pivotal game in that series. So when you start matching up, you know, whether you want to go Tiger and you know, ex-Tigers and Scherzer and Verlander, it doesn't really matter how.
Right.
But you go Scherzer and Verlander, and you go Strasburg and Cole, and you go Greinke and Corbin. Those are three matchups you're going to see twice. That fourth starter is a pivotal game, and it's Anibal Sanchez
right
versus
now,
Jose Urquidy. That's advantage Nationals.
Now, you're penciling in Urquidy, and I'm not sold on that.
Who's it going to be?
Josh James.
No.
I'm not saying he's going to go like a whole starter's distance, but I'm saying if Josh James continues to be as effective as he has been against the Yankees, and proven that, because the other thing is, there's been questions about in tight situations, can he have the mental fortitude?
Josh James?
Yeah. And the delivery issues. In this Yankee series, he's impressed a lot of people, including A.J. Hinch, in the fact that he's come into situations, he's shut the door, he hasn't had the control issues. I don't know if your Urquidy really hasn't had anything to in the playoffs in this type of pressure cooker environment to where you just throw them out there. I think you make it a bullpen game. I think you utilize some of these guys that haven't been used a lot because you can tell he only trusts like Joe Smith and God only for a batter or two.
Yeah.
And,
against the righties. Joe Smith is strictly a matchup guy.
We haven't even seen Peacock.
Yeah.
So, and normally that would be a guy that you would be under consideration for be, you know, a spot start. So I'm not sure that you just are writing it in pen or Keedy. I think he'll be considered.
Well, he's going to pitch in the game. Okay. In a game like that, Urquidy's getting a couple of innings. If you're going with a starter, I mean an opener and not a starter.
Boy Rondon is still available, or Rondon't.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if Josh James goes, he's the opener. If Urquidy goes, he's the starter. Either way, they're probably both pitching in that game.
Yeah.
Because Urquidy might give you four or five, you hope. I'm telling you what, no matter who it is, they're going to go up against Sanchez. That's advantage Nationals. Now, you can talk about the fact that the Astros are much better at the plate than the Nationals, but they still have – they're not as deep. That's the problem for the Nationals is once you get past that fourth or fifth slot in that lineup, it starts to thin
out.
Sure, it
does.
You got to get down to eight or nine on the Astros.
But realize guys that you maybe wouldn't have factored in as heavily in the postseason as being big time for them are hot right now. Kendrick, who the Astros Robles have pretty much been able to control throughout his career, wherever he's appeared, is on. He was the MVP of the series. He deserved every bit of it. Yeah. It doesn't matter what he doesn't do with his glove. He is on fire. So you've got that. And you've got Rendon, who pound for pound may be one of, if not the best hitter in the game, along with Mike Trout. Dude, for average, for timely power, for the fact that you even said.
I'd say in the National League, he's one of the better, you know, hitters.
I would say he's one of the top five hitters in the game.
Did you see what I was talking about yesterday, though?
I see pound for pound.
No, no, no. I'm saying, did you see what I was talking about with his lower half, how it literally
I've always seen that.
Does not move?
I think in terms
of... It's crazy.
There's different ways of judging how still a guy is at the plate. But I think Brantley on the top half, and I think you're right, and Rendon on the bottom half, I think those guys are as calm, and their heartbeat never changes, no matter what the situation is. But he played at Rice. Everybody said, hey, you want the hometown kid to play at home during the World Series. But be careful what you wish for, because this Nationals team, no matter who they play, is going to be a bitch.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. But I feel like that they match up a lot better against either of these American League teams than the Cardinals would have.
Oh, for sure.
Especially with that rotation. And that's the key. I mean, that's the fact that they have those big three arms was part of the reason why I picked them to win, because once you get all they had to do was get to these playoffs, and it's proven if you can get to the playoffs with arms like that, boy, you have a really good chance of advancing and going deep, because you got to see them twice. You got to face Scherzer twice in seven games or twice in
now,
five games. You got to face Strasburg twice in five and seven games. That's very difficult.
I will say the one thing advantage American League, no matter who comes out of the series, is the fact that this time off is going to be really tough to manage, because no matter what you do, how many you know, inner team games you set up and things like that, it's not the same as the competition, the pitching, and everything. And so the rust is going to be a huge issue with this much time off. Over a week, I think it is, for the Nationals before we start the World Series. So it'll be interesting to see how they're going to do all that.
Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, if you want to talk about advantages, advantage Nationals because of the you know, the DH and when they're at home and the pitcher's hitting. So it you manage it a little bit different. But, you know, when you have to throw Justin Verlander at the plate, that's a issue.
You know what's not an issue if you want to get out of the house and watch some sports? It's Twin Peaks. It takes care of everything for you. Five Houston area locations, but if you're looking to get out of the house and watch multiple sporting events at one place where it's clean and it's safe and they are going to take care of you, you need to get your butt to Twin Peaks. We already know about how beautiful and helpful the Twin Peaks girls are, and they are all over the place, and they are making sure they're waiting on every table. But the fact of the matter is, from the 29-degree draft beer, and it's always that cold, to the made-from-scratch entrees and appetizers, they have everything you need under one roof. And when it comes down to watching sports, they have all of the sports packages, they have tons of TVs, and they are willing to help you in any way, shape, or form. You got a corner table, you got three screens in front of you, you want the Astros and the Yankees on one channel, you want college football on another one, and you may want soccer or NBA basketball on another one, it's done. They're going to take care of you so that you don't have to worry about a thing, and you are nothing but happy and satisfied by the time you walk out. There's five Houston-area locations, there's got to be one near you, but I keep telling you guys this, if you're going to get out of the house and watch sports, there's only one place to do it. It is Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.